The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app.
Shalom be'eretz Yisrael, shalom, shalom, shalom be'eretz Yisrael, shalom, shalom, shalom be'eretz Yisrael, shalom, shalom, shalom be'eretz Yisrael.
Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finman. We've got a great show for you today. In this half hour of the show, we're going to discuss the Comprehensive Israel Job Market Report. If you're wondering, I've reported here all the time that Israel's got a negative unemployment rate or close to it. We're going to have Baruch Goldman from this organization, and we're going to talk about what's doing in the job market in Israel. It's going to be very exciting. He's a real cool guy. Lots of wonderful a cappella music. We are in the 3 weeks between 17th of Tammuz and Tisha B'Av. The portion of the week is the portion of Matos Masai. Hopefully we'll have time for an awesome Hasidic story at the end. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. Terrorists from Hamas-controlled Gaza fired at least 7 rockets into southern Israel. The rockets exploded in open areas, causing no physical injury or damages. In response, the Kerem Shalom goods crossing reserved for trade between Israel and Gaza was closed until further notice. IDF aircraft attacked several terror targets in Gaza, including 2 weapons storage facilities, a rocket launching site, and a center of terrorist activity. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry met with Benjamin Netanyahu and Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas at different sites as he continues his latest round of Mideast diplomacy. Kerry hopes to get both sides back to the negotiating table. The U.N. Security Council voted unanimously to renew the peacekeeping mission in the Golan for another 6 months. Until now, peacekeepers carried only handguns, but with Syria's unrest, troops will now be armed with armored vehicles and machine guns. An Iron Dome anti-missile battery was deployed to Haifa as Syria's unrest continues to spill into northern Israel and Lebanon. This is just a normal thing, just precautionary. Israeli border police carried out a large-scale operation arresting suspects involving in attacks against security forces. In addition, the suspects have incriminated others and more arrests can be expected. Similarly, IDF forces seized a large cache of illegal weapons in the homes of terrorists in Shechem. Among the weapons seized were handguns, assault rifles, and a large supply of ammunition and military equipment. 3 suspects were arrested and transferred to security forces. Border guard and police forces clashed with hundreds of residents of Wadi Ara at the junction Highway 65 to protest the demolition of a home in the area. The home was illegally built. Police used stun grenades and tear gas to disperse the crowd. In other news, the Greek Cypriot cabinet approved plans to sign a deal with an U.S.-Israeli partnership to build a liquefied natural gas plant on the island to exploit untapped energy riches. Turkey has objected to the plan, saying the resources should be divided between the 2 sides of the separated island. And finally, a Bible autographed by Albert Einstein in 1932 brought $68,500 this week at auction in New York. The buyer's identity was not disclosed. The Bible was a gift from the Einsteins to their friend Harriet Hamilton, whoever Harriet Hamilton might be. That might be an interesting story. Einstein wrote in German that the book is a great source of wisdom and consolation that should be read often. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program, When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We just want to remind our listening off audience that the Jewish Hour is a participant in a raffle. We are offering you the chance to win $100,000. And there's also a second, third, fourth, and fifth prize. Go to rabbifinman.com today. And the tickets are $100 a piece, $180 for two, $250 gets you three, $500 will get you seven. And it's cheaper if you want to get along, just contact me. Funds collected will go to help all of the projects of the Jewish Hour's umbrella organization and help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. And you can do that and have it. Maybe you'll be the $100,000 winner. Just go to rabbifinman.com. The sooner you do it, the less I'll be saying this. Anyway, you have until the beginning of July, basically. We're going to listen to, this is a group called We Stand As One. The song is called We Stand As One. Let's listen to it right now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Be brave, be strong. We stand as one. We will go on. Another siren wails. Just an ordinary day. Was it anyone I know? How can life go on this way? Our holy land of Israel, how much grief can you sustain? We search for words of courage to help us ease the pain. Be brave, be strong, we're standing proud. Be brave, be strong, we sing out loud. And hear our prayer to see shalom. Be brave, be strong, we stand as one, we will go on. Be brave, be strong, we stand shalom, we will go on.
Our home away from home, the place we hold so dear. Our brothers seeking comfort and strength. Persevere,
a nation of survivors, one family filled with pride. Oh, land of milk and honey, we will always stand. Stand by our side, yes, we will. Be brave, be strong, we stand as one. Be brave, be strong, for the land of Zion.
Healthcare offers patients the advantage of a safe and natural method of healing without the use of drugs or surgery. People of all ages, including children, benefit from chiropractic's unique approach to health. Call area code 248-557-1818 today to find out how chiropractic can benefit your family. At the Solomon Chiropractic Center, we especially love children. All kids should have their spines checked periodically throughout their crucial growing years. Growth on a crooked foundation will create a crooked spine and become harder to correct later in life. Kids love to get adjusted at the Solomon Chiropractic Center. And hey, moms, did you know that chiropractic offers a safe, drug-free approach to helping with the many pains women often get during and after pregnancy? We even have special tables which open up so pregnant women can lay on their stomachs. We treat moms, dads, children, and grandparents with arthritic pains, neck pains, back pain, and headaches. People of all ages, including kids, benefit from chiropractic. Come experience the natural method of healing without the use of drugs or surgery. Stop living in pain. Call area code 248-557-1818 today for a free consultation at the Solomon Chiropractic Center to discuss you and your family's health needs. Remember, 557-1818. That's 557-HI-HI.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. We have from the organization known as Israel Empowered, Mr. Rabbi Baruch Gordon. How are you today?
Hi, I'm just a simple Jew, Baruch Gordon, and it's nice to be with you.
It's a pleasure as mine. Okay, we're going to be talking about the Comprehensive Israel Job Market Report, which is a, as it says, a comprehensive list of all of the job openings that are available currently in Israel, which is a very unusual thing to see. What was the impetus about publishing this report, Baruch?
Well, I'll tell you, first of all, I must salute the Israeli government, which put this report together, and specifically Minister of the Economy, Naftali Bennett. And they have been sitting on mounds of data. The Israeli government, just as a matter of policy, they call employers, they interview them, they ask what the starting salaries are. They just have departments that sort of amalgamate data about the job market. And some people together with Minister Bennett said, let's take all this data and do something with it. People can make use out of it, right? So, for example, if a person knows, let's say there's a person, someone listening right now in Detroit, who has a feeling that he wants to come to Israel at one point, but he's about to enter university, and he wants to know what subject to study. And he's debating between one or the other. So you can look at the report and see the starting salaries for each of 195 fields. You can see how much each position, each field is in demand in different parts of the country. So the impetus to put it out was just to provide to the Jewish people in Israel and overseas a document that will give them amazing data that might help them make some decisions in their life to make them connect to Israel in a more intimate fashion.
Okay. So this report that I'm looking at is hopefully in the very near future, if we have all these people that are going to need to be employed, it's going to be outdated data. How often is this going to be updated?
We discussed that with Minister Bennett, and it's not clear yet. The government offices are constantly bringing in more data, and it's just not clear yet how often it will be updated. But we're going to be, Israel Empowered will be right on top of that, and we will be issuing new reports as the information is updated.
Okay. Now, I wanted to do it, but I really didn't have the time. There's 195 different fields, and each one says how many job openings there are. Do you have, what is the grand total of how many jobs are available over the entire Israel? You didn't do it either.
The truth is that I got an email from someone who did, but it's not a difficult thing to do when you have a document in front of you, but it could be by the end of this conversation, I will have it.
Okay, it's in Excel, and you can just hit the total up thing over there, so yes. Anyway, I'm just being a little bit flippant. I would like to say that
here,
it's
74,000.
74,000 jobs.
74,000.
Okay, terrific.
We'll take 2,000 from Detroit. How's that?
Okay.
If the listeners will agree 2,000 to come, we'll give them 2,000 jobs.
Fair enough. Indeed. Now, it's a comprehensive report, and I'd like to say it goes from A to Z, but I didn't see like zoologist or zookeeper on it. It stops at W. Are there no needs for zoologists in Israel?
Well, the truth is we did make a promotional video which I don't know if you saw on the internet.
I did.
Shown on Israel
I thought that was Lion Tamer. I looked at see there was no no quiet Lion Tamer per se, but yes.
Right. So we did relate to Lion Tamers, and there is no job openings for Lion Tamers. Regarding zoologists, you know, I guess there are more than 195 position openings in Israel, and they chose the 195 that they felt they were in most in demand. So I don't want to say that there's no position openings, but it's the type of thing that's so specific, you really have to sort of hunt down and make some inquiries to find information about that, and
right.
It doesn't come out in this report.
Okay. So if there would be like one, it might not be on here, but I see cement production worker, which is a pretty, that's a pretty serious position. That's definitely needed in construction. There's only 15 of those needed. So there, I guess if it was something that was a necessary commodity per se, like a cement worker, you would put it on.
Right. Well, also, if you look and you see how many people are currently working, for instance, we do have there a list that there are 1,595 employees in that field in Israel. Mm-hmm. So it gives you an idea that it's, you know, it's less than some of the positions, but it's more than others. The mm-hmm. report tells you how many people currently work in that field, and it breaks it down to each region. So, for example, the Jerusalem region, there's very few cement production workers, but in the north and in the center of the country, the greater Tel Aviv area, there's some 900 in the north and 580 in the center. So there is a field there, and there is some demand, but you know, right now at this moment, the snapshot moment, there's only 15 positions open.
Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that when it says here starting monthly salaries, that's in shekels?
Yes, it says in the small print at the top of the report that it's in shekels, yeah.
Yeah, I don't bother with small print, right? You know, like almost, I'm like most
well,
Americans.
Before you sign your job contract in Israel, I suggest you read the small print of the contract.
Okay, so I have a daughter who is receiving a degree from the IDC in Herzliya, and she's getting her Bachelor's of Science in Psychology. And we looked and we discussed what was available possibly for her. And having spent all this time, effort, money, and the tears that I've been listening to, a psychologist in Israel, that right now there are 26 that are needed, the post is 14,900 shekels per month, which comes out roughly to about $5,000 a month, approximately.
Okay.
So $5,000 a month is about $60,000. So she didn't think that was really worth her time, that she's put all this effort in, and she knows that she's got a psychologist. She's not getting the position with a degree as a bachelor, but she's going to have to do a master's and a PhD. So it seems, and with other things, which is the more labor type rather than academic ones, it seems like starting salaries are really low in Israel.
Maybe, Herschel, it's a beautiful question, and I hope the listeners also identify with that, because some people are discouraged when they see the low starting monthly salary. So let me give you three answers to your daughter and to the listeners. First, your daughter, number one. She went to IDC. The cost of living in Israel is definitely cheaper than in America. For example, in America, your daughter, how much did she pay to study those 4 years of the university? Probably, I'm guessing, somewhere between $60,000 a year at university. Those are the numbers that I'm hearing from a lot of my friends that I know here in America. You know, you go to the Ivy League, it gets to $50,000, $60,000 a year. Whereas in Israel, IDC, the Interdisciplinary Center in Herzliya, is the most expensive university in Israel. And it costs about $3,500 a year. Again, the Israeli government subsidizes study. So if a Jew wants to come and study there, it's, you know, you make Aliyah, you come, you live there, you're paying much, much, much less for university. And also, if we talk about Jewish education, if someone wants to send their kid to a Jewish, you know, a Jewish day school here in America, he's paying, God, a freaking $15,000, $20,000 a year, whereas in Israel, it's one-tenth of that. Or it's free. You can go to a religious school in Israel for free. I live in Beit El. They have a wonderful government, what's called Mamad Mamachi Dati, the government religious school. It's excellent. It's filled with yeshiva students who are teaching there, and they're great. And my kid loves it, and he goes happily to school, and he gets a great Jewish education. He's studying Mishnah, everything. So it's free. I'm just saying, you're saving right there. We just saved. How much is that? You know, let's say you got three kids, you're paying, that's already $100,000 a year. $60,000 on the kids' education, $40,000 on a university education per year. You're saving you know, tens and tens of thousands of dollars just by sending your kids to school in Israel. So that's number one. Don't the starting monthly salary is lower in any profession you take. Almost any profession, you're going to get a lower monthly salary in Israel. But you get there's a lot of things that are taken care of. Medical bills in Israel, medicine is socialized. So you pay a small portion of you go to see a doctor in America, you're paying him, you know, your kid has a fever, you pay him $200, $300 for a doctor's visit. In Israel, it's free. If he gives you some medicine, you pay 10, 20, 30 shekels. What is that? Less than $10, and you get the medicine. So there's a lot of different things in Israel that are cheaper. That's number one. Can I continue?
Please.
Okay. So again, you had asked if he was discouraged about the small salary. So the cost of living there is cheaper. But number two, we talked about university, we talked about cost of living, and perhaps the most important point, I'm telling you, that's a high salary. 16,000 shekels, by the way, is close, 15,000 shekels, it's closer to $4,000 a month, not $5,000 a month, but still, that's a very high starting salary. Once a person establishes himself in his field and starts to gain a name, and however good he is or she is, that can take, you know, however many years, then she can open a private practice. And when you open a private practice, so then people start to make monies and income that are closer to American salaries. But going back to the first point, you don't need that to live comfortably in Israel. You don't need that. And the final point, of course, is that a person has to choose. Does he want to live in the Jewish state and be a subject of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, right, the God of Israel who's guided us through history, or does he want to live in the U.S. and be a subject of Obama? Nothing against Obama, but just whoever the president is. And there's a lot of added value that comes living in the Jewish state. And I can't tell you, as an American who made Aliyah, the many, many Jewish holidays, many, many times I just feel a shrivel down the back of my spine, the pride, the nachas of living in Israel, of seeing my children who were born Israelis growing up. I have a son who just went into the tank corps in the IDF, and we had a ceremony. I put that ceremony on film. It was a 5-minute, I edited it to 5 minutes. I put it up on YouTube, and I can't tell you how many people wrote me saying they were watching it with tears coming down their eyes. And I was also there with tears coming down my eyes. And I guarantee you that probably if your son goes to the American Army, which a lot of the Jews in general, we don't see them so heavily in the American Army, you won't have tears coming down your eyes. The pride is less because we're completing the circle. We're coming back to Zion. We're in a tough neighborhood. We need to stand up and fight for Jewish rights, to live with freedom and dignity in the entirety of our land, and we're doing that. And when someone is sacrificing for the Jewish people and the Jewish state, then it gives an added value to life. So I would encourage your daughter and the listeners that to consider seriously changing the direction of their life. You know, people can't get up and bust in 1 second, but those that can do it, young people, it's a major decision in your life. Come like your daughter. Study at IDC in Israel. It's a beautiful thing she did. And come and study at other places in Israel. Learn the language. And maybe your daughter will find some macho Israeli soldier who will take her hand they'll be a happy ending to the story. And I'm sure they'll live comfortably.
Indeed, and we'll live happily ever after, as the case may be. If you're just tuning in, our guest is Baruch Gordon. We are discussing the Comprehensive Job Report, which is put out by the Ministry of Economy in Israel. And Mr. Gordon is with an organization called Israel Empowered. Tell us about Israel Empowered. What's that all about?
Well, Israel Empowered is part of Beit El Institutions. Again, I'm from Beit El. It's a Jewish town just about 25 minutes north of Jerusalem. And they have a really statewide famous network of institutions that are religious. We also are the ones that founded and continue to operate IsraelNationalNews.com, also known as Arut 7. So what we're trying to do is, you know, educate people. That's a big thing for us, to take the up-and-coming generation and imbue them with ideals, with love of the land, with the love of our Jewish heritage and Jewish values, and, of course, the love of Am Yisrael one another. And Israel Empowered is something new that we're opening now that's going to be sort of the outreach on the Internet of the Israel Defense's Preparatory Academy in Beit El. We do have a Israel Defense Forces Preparatory Academy. The Defense Ministry and other government ministries, they subsidize that about 40%. And my job is to raise the money for the other 60%. And that's what I'm doing here in America now. It's an amazing program. I'm not going to go into the details of it, but it's really just we want to get the information out. We want to reach out to people on the Internet just to provide them with a pathway to connect to Israel. So we don't even have a website yet. We do have a Facebook page. It's, you know, facebook.com/IsraelEmpowered. And we're also going to be hosting events primarily in the New York area, but sometimes around the country for young adults, and speeches about Israel, information about Israel, some fairs. We're going to be doing all that stuff as well.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Just, I got a few questions by email. My email, by the way, is baruch@israelempowered.com. And I got a few questions of people saying, okay, where can I find out? You have all these jobs listed here. How do I get to them? And I'm just in the process of posting on our Facebook page about 4 or 5 or 6 different sites where English speakers can investigate and actually post their CVs and look for jobs in Israel. There's quite a few places that are looking for native English speakers. And, you know, they want that. And you know, we, the people from America who come, and we have a high school or certainly a college education. Here's an example. I'm reading one right off the site right now. We are looking for native foreign speakers to fill our marketing positions and to be in touch with our customers, looking for part-time and full-time representatives to start immediately, send CV. So you see there's really companies based in Israel that need English speakers. So there are positions out there, and I'm going to be posting these sites, the site that I just read it from, on the Facebook page, and anyone who wants to take interest can, of course, visit facebook.com/IsraelEmpowered.
Okay, cool. That actually was one of my questions that I was going to ask, because the way it's presented now, it's a very academic, ethereal type presentation without any like, well, what do I do with the information type thing other than just know it. People ask me, again, I'm being just a little bit tongue in cheek, but I can't help it. People ask me, for example, Rabbi Finman, why don't you move to Israel? And I tell them, well, if I moved to Israel, I would just be another rabbi. And here I'm looking at this comprehensive list, and nowhere on this list does it say how many rabbis or radio show hosts are needed. So what is a person going to do who maybe doesn't have one of these professions? Do I have to like suddenly become, well, maybe I should become a plumber or an electronics manufacturing worker?
There's a story of the great Iraqi Kabbalist, the Baba Sali. And the Baba Sali passed away in 1986. There was a guy from Morocco. I'm sorry, not Iraqi, Morocco. Sorry to all the Moroccans. I didn't mean to insult your Jewish heritage. He was a great Moroccan Kabbalist. And he would, of course, simple people would come to him and ask for blessings. And a man came and said, I want to move to Israel, but I don't read. I can't write. I'm a farmer. I'm already like, 55, 60 years old. I have no chance of starting a farm there, of making a livelihood. I'm like, what do I do? The Baba Sali said to him, go, and you have my blessing that you will succeed. This man came to Israel. He had a son who was working in the defense industries, which create weapons for Israel. And the man came, and he just came with complete faith in the Baba Sali's blessing that God would provide him a way to live. Now, how is a guy from Morocco who cannot read, cannot write, doesn't know Hebrew that well, and he's going to come to Israel at the age of 55, 60 and make a livelihood? How? Right? How is God going to do this one? Right? What are you going to do, God? It turns out that at the defense ministry, at the defense weapons industries, they needed a guy to do paper shredding. And it was a serious security risk because the shredded papers were going to expose, the papers that they were giving them to shred, were exposing the most advanced and top secret designs of weapons in Israel. And they couldn't just give it to anybody. This guy could sell this stuff for hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars to enemies. So this guy who worked there said, look, I have my father was his uncle, I don't remember. He just came from Morocco. He can't read or write. This is a perfect position. They said, we don't believe you. So they actually sent the Shabak, the Israelis. They followed him around, and it turns out that they saw that he didn't write. He can't read or write. They followed him in the newspaper. He held it upside down. They hired this guy. He worked there for 10 years, and they said, okay, you're 65, you're 70. We're letting you go. And he went to the Baba Sali's son, and he said, your father promised that I would have livelihood until for my entire life in Israel. What happened? The Baba Sali's son said, don't worry. Just wait 2 or 3 weeks. After a month, they came back and they said, we can't find anybody else to fill this position. Will you come back? So I'm just saying, I have a friend who was a lawyer in America. He came to Israel. He realized his vocal and language abilities. Not everybody can learn a foreign language so smooth and well to be a lawyer. And he became a curator at the Diaspora Museum in Israel and loves it. So obviously he took a hit in his salary, but he found a place to work. And, you know, Avram Avinu came to Israel. He didn't ask questions. He just came completely blind. And I think that anyone who comes, you know, there are pulpit rabbis in America who have congregations of 600, 700 people. I knew a rabbi who was in a situation like that in Rye Town, New York, a very wealthy, prestigious synagogue, 600, 700 families. He came to Israel. He moved to Kfar Adumim, which is a place just outside of Jerusalem towards the Dead Sea. And he became, I think, an eighth grade teacher in Israel. And he just made that decision. He wants his children to grow up in Israel. He wants to connect completely to Israel. Now, I'm not coming to judge anyone. Everyone has to make their own decision. And rabbis in America are spiritual leaders, and that's also an important position. But someone who wants to come, I think you just have to come with faith, be ready to change from a lawyer to a curator in a museum or whatever, and roll your sleeves up and just come. We need Jews. We need warmth. We need Jewish warmth. We need Jewish smiles. We need young people. We need old people. We need chokhmah. We need everything. Just the more Jews in Israel, the merrier.
Okay. I have another question that comes to mind. In discussing this with my daughter, or even before this, my daughter, when she decided to go to IDC, decided that she was not going to make Aliyah because she was concerned about having to do IDF service, to go into the Miluim, the reserves, afterwards, or in her case, it might have been to actually go into active duty. I'm beyond that. I'm over the maximum age, but people who get off the plane and they say, I'm here and I'm making Aliyah, don't they get sort of like whisked away into Miluim and have to start playing soldier?
So, first of all, I know there's been major changes in the Army in the past year or two, and I'm not an expert on what the ages are now. When I came to Israel in 1981, so I sat and studied a few years in yeshiva and was able to postpone it, and eventually I was married with two kids at the age of 28, and I went into the Army, and I had to serve, listen to this, well, the truth is I had a medical issue in my eye, a detached retina, and they said, we're just going to give you a very basic training. I had to serve only 11 days, and then after that, I did a month every year, 3 weeks, a month every year. And I can't tell you, first of all, so you do the Army, so you learn to shoot a gun. I guarded installations. I was a Jeep driver, and it was, I can tell you today I'm, you know, already beyond age as well. I think we're, I don't know, for octogenarians, but we're going to reach there, not in the too distant future. And looking back on my decades here in the land of Israel, that was one of the most significant part of my experience. It's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. And, you know, I have children who are going into the Army and the combat units, and it's a privilege. It's an honor. It's a merit to be able to stand up and fight and risk oneself for the Jewish people in Israel. And someone who, we just have to be strong. It's a normal thing in every nation. In the United States, we have young guys who are risking themselves for America, and some of them are being killed. And it's something that every nation, it's a normal thing in every nation, and in Israel too. So I don't think there's any reason for someone to be a draft dodger. I think that should be an impetus or a pull for people to come to Israel to be able to serve. You know, I'll give you one last thing. There was a great rabbi. You know, there's differences of opinions between religious Jews. What is considered Jewish garb? What's a Jewish dress? So right now I'm speaking to you in Brooklyn. When I walk around here, I see people in black hats and long kaputas, you know, black coats and different types of stockings and shoes. And there's a difference of opinion. Is it a knit kippah, a knit yarmulke, or whatever? There was a rabbi who said, one thing is for sure, that a Jewish garb, an IDF uniform, is a Jewish garb. To stand up and fight and risk oneself for all Jews in Israel, be they ultra-Orthodox or completely secular and everything in between, that a person who's done in that uniform and standing up and being even just a small nut and bolt in the whole system, the whole IDF, he is doing a great act of Judaism, and that is Jewish garb. So I think one should connect to that and not shy away from it.
Okay, indeed. Okay, our guest has been Baruch Gordon, who represents Israel Empowered, and we've been talking about the comprehensive Israel job market report put out by the Ministry of Economics in Israel. Someone wants to get their eyeballs wrapped around this report. How do they do that, Baruch?
Well, you can just go onto YouTube and do a search in YouTube for Israel Empowered, and my name, Baruch Gordon, Baruch Gordon. And it should pop up there. You'll see the comprehensive Israel job market report. You click on the video, and below that is the link to access the report.
Okay, indeed. Okay, I hope you have my email, and I hope that you'll be keeping us apprised of future developments of this and other similar reports, Baruch.
Yes, and again, my email is Baruch, Baruch, at israelempowered.com. Herschel, it was a pleasure talking to you, and good luck with your program. A Shabbat Shalom to all the Jews, and all the Goyim. They should also have a good Shabbos in Detroit. Thank you very much.
Okay, we're going to thank you so much. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Want assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Hey, Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. I'm going to remind you that the Jewish Hour is offering a raffle. First prize is $100,000. Go to rabbifinman.com and click on the $100 button, and I'll get you one ticket, or $180 you'd have to add in, I think, and then $250 is for three. $7 I'll get you five is for $500, and it will go to help support, and you could be the winner of $100,000. I think that's really awesome. Don't like doing paying for things online. I get kind of squeamish myself too. I understand, but we've never had any problems on rabbifinman.com. But send your donation of $100 for one, $180 for two, $250 for three, $7 will get you for $500 to the Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Deadline for raffle entries is July 10th. We have coming up now for your listening pleasure, Ari Goldwag. Hashem loves you, God loves you, and you got to believe it.
Sometimes you're feeling down, things haven't gone your way, so you're looking all around to find someone who'll save the day. There's one place you can't turn, he'll never turn you back. When you look to Hashem, you're always back on track. Cause Hashem loves you, you're his greatest pride. Yes, Hashem loves you, he's always by your side. You can see it too, all the good you have inside. It's up to you, all you need is to decide. Na 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 na. No strings are attached to the love Hashem will show to you. Just gotta hold on tight, put your trust in Him. Keep your head held high, let your soul just start to sing. Cause Hashem loves you, you're His greatest pride. Yes, Hashem loves you, He's always by your side. You can see it too, the good you have inside. It's up to you.
A different walk with confidence in your stride. When you think of Hashem's love and you know you're always on His mind, there's a light you've got to shine. A job no one else can do. Hashem's giving you the tools. Now the rest comes down to you. Cause Hashem loves you. Yes, you're His greatest prize. Oh, Hashem loves you. He's always by your side. You can see it too. All that good you got inside, it's up to you. All you need is to decide.
Cause Hashem loves you.
Yes, Hashem loves you.
You're His greatest prize.
Greatest prize.
Hashem loves you.
He's always by your side.
Always by your side.
You can see it too.
All the good you have inside,
it's up to you.
It's up to you. All you need is to decide.
Na 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 na. Na 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 na
Art Studio of Oak Park is now accepting students. Whether you're a real beginner or have been at it for a lifetime, the Art Studio of Oak Park has something for you. All levels welcome, all ages welcome. Private tutoring or small friendly classes. Flexible hours available. The Art Studio of Oak Park is very affordable. Make your life better. Put art into your life. The Art Studio of Oak Park offers lessons in a strictly kosher environment. Call today, 248-542-5087. That's 248-542-5087. It's great having an art room right in the neighborhood.
Harry Shulfin, and here you're listening to the Jewish Hour. We are having fun. We got time for one more piece here to listen to. This is Yafya Fisa, and this is 613 a cappella. Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800. Herr Schulfenman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. This week is the portion of Matos Masai. It is found in chapter 30 of the book of Deuteronomy. Excuse me, the book of Numbers, till the end of the book of Numbers. So we're concluding Numbers this week. There are zillions of things going on in this portion. One thing I want to focus on. In last week's portion, there's a whole story about the daughters of Tzlafchad. It's a really good word to say. Let's all practice it together. Tzlafchad. It's not that hard. It was a guy's name. With some of the names flying around America, Tzlafchad is just easy. We get used to that type of thing. He had no sons, and they came to Moses. The daughters came to Moses and said, our father had no sons, and we want the inheritance that would normally have gone to sons, and so we want his portion. And Moses went to God, and there was a whole ta-da-dum, and the Almighty said, okay, Cain b'nois Tzlafchad doveres. It is true that what the daughters of Tzlafchad had said, if there are no sons, the inheritance will go to the daughters. And they got all the pieces of this nice piece of land in Israel. Yay! With every action, there is a consequence. For every, you know, like you say, for every question, there's an answer. And for every answer, there's a question. That's just the wonderful thing about Judaism. In this week's portion, there's just a little incident that happens towards the end of the portion. Tzlafchad's daughter's cousins, those would be Tzlafchad's nephews, now approached Moshe and said, wait a minute. These women will be getting married. If they marry somebody from another tribe, so that means then that the portions that they inherited from their father will go to their children after their demise. When their children would be from another tribe, that would mean then that the portion of land would now belong to another tribe. And what you would have is all these little Hamtramcks and Highland Parks located throughout our tribe of Menashe. And this poses a real problem because that means that our tribe will be therefore smaller. Our property will be decreased because of these five women. Moses said, interesting point. And of course, he went to the Almighty. And the Almighty decreed that the daughters of Tzlafchad could only marry someone from their own tribe. So that way, the portion of the land would therefore go to their children. And since they were from the same tribe, it would remain in the jurisdiction of the original tribe. And everybody lived happily ever after. Except that I don't think anybody asked the daughters of Tzlafchad who if they wanted to specifically to marry people from their tribe, which would have been at most a seventh cousin. But then again, how many seventh cousins do you know? And so we have this whole apportionment of land going on. Now, one of the things I like to focus when I'm talking about stories in the Bible is there's no such thing as a story in the Bible. There's no such thing as Jewish trivia, God forbid. But there's something relevant to be learned from every incident that occurs in the Bible. Here, for example, you have the daughters of Tzlafchad really want a portion of Israel. There's a lesson there that, yes, wish like Mr. Baruch Gordon, we should all want to go live in Israel. That's a very good thing to want to do. It is a mitzvah. It is one of the 613 commandments to live in Israel. God willing, I will have an opportunity. The Almighty will set that in front of me, and I will go to and do that mitzvah myself. Yes. But there are cautions involved also. We have to keep it in the family. The Bible is an allegory, because every nation that's mentioned in the Bible refers to something within us. Israel, the land of Israel, is who we are. That's the goodness within inside of us. And what the cousins of the daughters of Tzelophehad were complaining about is we don't want that to be to stray, even one iota. We want to maintain a focus. We want to maintain our integrity. We want to remain with our sense of spirituality in a focused way. This has forbearance on the time period in which we find ourselves, the 3 weeks, because now is the time that it says that the major reason that the temple was destroyed and the reason why it's still in a state of destruction is because people weren't getting along. It's really time we take that time to look inside ourselves, see the goodness in ourselves, and then look at another person and see their goodness too. It's there. We've got to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Spex Howard from the Spex Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor The Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for The Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, it's listeners like you that help keep The Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. A reminder that The Jewish Hour, along with this umbrella organization, is sponsoring a raffle. You could be the winner of $100,000 cash. This is not a joke. I am serious. $100,000. Second prize is $10,000. Third prize is $5,000. Fourth prize is $1,000. And fifth prize is $500. Go to rabbifinman.com. Click on the donations page. Donate the number you want. One ticket is $100. Two tickets, $180. Three tickets, $250. Four, seven tickets is $500. Don't want to do the raffle? It's okay. Send your donation to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. We still got to keep the radio show up and running. The story goes that in 1927... there was a disciple of he referred to him as the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe, is the then-less the Lubavitcher Rebbe. So in the city of Kutais, which is the capital of Georgia, there was a Lubavitcher, and he made his livelihood teaching kids, which was a major offense in Soviet Russia. And he got arrested. And they said, "What are you doing? Why do you go and go to these houses every day?" And he said, "Well, these children are sick." This man was smart. He was quick. "These children are sick. And I go and I perform magic spells and hopefully they get better." And they said, "Come on." And he says, "Yeah, it really is something that should be done with these people. And I do my things and the kids get better." And they were so taken aback, so floored by it. They said, "Could you go outside, please, for a moment? We need to discuss it." So he, being really smart, walked out, and he headed for the front door. And the guard said, "Where are you going?" He said, "They told me to go out. See you later." And he said it with such simplicity that, "Okay, fine, go." He took off. He did not go. He packed his bag and went home. And he traveled to Leningrad to go talk to the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe, but the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe had been arrested himself and was threatening a death sentence. But on the 3rd of Tammuz, it was commuted to Kastroma. And so what he did is he picked himself up, got himself on a train, went to Kastroma, and managed to get a private audience with the rabbi. And the rabbi told him that he should go back to Kutais, but on his way, he should stop into Georgia. Now, to do that would be sort of like going to New York from Boston via Denver, is basically what that would be like. So he got on a train, left Kastroma, which is located in Kazakhstan, went to Moscow, and his idea was is that he was supposed to meet a certain person by the name of Baruch Sholem, who was going to take him around. He was going to get receipts for having purchased goods. Then he was going to go to the GPO office, which was the KGB, and show them that he was no longer a miracle worker. He was now a merchant. And so this is what he did. He had all kinds of divine providence things happen over there. He met this guy on a bus, this the person he was supposed to meet. And he went around, got the receipts, went straight back to Kutais, got the went to the Gestapo, not the KGB headquarters, showed them the receipts and said, "You wanted me not to be a magic man anymore. I'm now a merchant." So he looked at them and said, "You were really in deep trouble. Had we caught you, we would have sent you to Siberia for hard labor in 10 years. But since you're here, you turned yourself in. Fine, we'll let you go. Merchant is okay. Worker would be better." That's going to do it today. We thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed the show. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope you had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a good week. Take care. We'll see you next week. Yerushalayim.